Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic. Breonna Taylor. Breonna Taylor with a 26-year-old emergency room technician who was shot 8 times and killed when police forcefully entered her home one late night while serving a no-knock search warrant. Did the police have a right to issue a no-knock search warrant? Did it merit all of that to you know, come into this lady's house? You would think that with all the protesting regarding injustice, regarding law enforcement, that law enforcement would be on their best behavior, you know, dotting their I's, crossing their T's, and all that good stuff. Nope. From the New York Times. They say, here's what you need to know about Breonna Taylor's death. So, as you guys know, you know, there's been a... ever since George Floyd, there's been a lot of protests. And this sparked some protests in Louisville, Kentucky. Not Louisville, not the baseball bat place. This sparked intense demonstration all over also. And this is, they were mentioning her name also during a protest after the killing of George Floyd. Anyway, they were clashing with the police in Louisville, Kentucky, and rightfully so, because it seems to be that these guys aren't able to get this thing together about, you know, how to handle their business. And it's supposed to be already trained professionals. I hear a lot of talk about training police officers. They need training. I'm trying to figure out, as long as there's been a police force, are they saying that these guys are inadequately trained and they have lethal weapons on them? That's scary. Anyway, what happened in Louisville, right? So, well, here's what happened. And since this case with Breonna, Louisville officials have banned the use of no-knock warrants, which allows police to forcibly enter people's homes to search them without warning. That's like without saying police, knock-knock police. You know, it's just boom, your door opens up and police come rushing in. That's a no-knock warrant. They banned it on June 23rd, and they fired one of the officers involved in the shooting. And for good reason, you know, but it's still some strange stuff going on with this case. As you can see, they fired one officer. We have one dead young black, promising black woman. She's deceased now, in her home, waking out of her sleep to be murdered. So what happened in Louisville? That's what, you know, we want to know. Because I know, heard... when I first heard about this, I heard the story. She was in bed, and the cops came in and just shot her house up, shot her in the bed, and things like that. So these guys saying, based on this report from the New York Times, they're saying basically on March 13th, right, police officers were executing this no-knock warrant with that battering ram. If you watch Chicago PD, they like to use that a lot. They used that battering ram to enter her apartment, right? 26-year-old African-American emergency room technician, right? Ms. Taylor and her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, right, were in the bed, had been in the bed. I guess they was watching some kind of boring TV show. They fell asleep. They heard a loud banging on the door. After a brief exchange, right, this is a short story. Mr. Walker fired his gun. The police also fired several shots, striking Miss Taylor, right? That's a short story, because that's not even telling you anything, right? Anyway, Mr. Walker told him best to get is that Miss Teller coughed and struggled to breathe for at least 5 minutes after she was shot, according to the Louisville Courier Journal. She received no medical attention for more than 20 minutes after she was struck. Jefferson County coroner told the Courier Journal that Miss Teller most likely, they weren't there, right? She most likely died less than a minute after she was shot and could not have been saved. So, right there, you see building a defense right there already. They wasn't there. The man said it's about 5 minutes. She struggled. Anyway, the police had been investigating two men who they believed were selling drugs out of a house that was far from Ms. Teller's home. All right? But a judge had also signed a warrant allowing the police to search Ms. Teller's residence because the police said they believed. You understand? People believe in the good tooth fairy also, right? Santa Claus, stuff like that, right? They say they believe that one of the two men had used Ms. Teller's apartment to receive packages. Well, they think they were delivering the drugs to the mail, right? The judge's order was also a so-called no-knock warrant, which allowed the police to enter without warning or without identifying themselves as police themselves. That's a very dangerous, even as for a police officer, just say if you run into somebody's house and there is a drug dealer, that's a drug organization in there. Well, those guys guard those places. So you just come crashing in there and they light that doorway up. You have some dead police officer if you got the wrong guy in there with a gun. So I don't know. I'm not sure I like that. Only anyway, we're going to go ahead. No drugs were found in her apartment, the lawyer from Mr. Walker said. Ms. Teller's mom said that she had planned to be a lifetime career in healthcare, serving as an EMT. That's the irony of one of the ironic things about this case. She went to she had a plan of becoming a nurse, buying a house, then starting a family. So why did the police fire their weapons? Okay. So what happened? Louisville police said they fired only after they were fired upon by Mr. Kenneth Walker, who is a licensed arms civilian. He has a license to carry. Everything is legal. And Walker wounded one of the officers who was hit in the leg, but expected to live, make a full recovery, right? He was subsequently charged with attempted murder of a police officer, though the charge was dismissed in May. That's very important to pay attention to that. How many people you know shoot a cop, right, in the leg, coming in on a no-knock search warrant, and charges drop? The police also said that despite having a no-knock warrant, they knocked several times, right? Identified themselves as police officers, police, right? With a warrant. We have a warrant. Police, right? Before entering an apartment, right? Mr. Walker had said he and Ms. Teller heard aggressive banging at the door and asked who it was. But they did not hear an announcement that it was the police. All right? So they forced the entry into the door, right? They said they didn't hear them say anything. And neither one of them heard any kind of verbiage coming from each other. So they forced their way in after that, right? So is the police conduct account disputed? Because they said they ain't hear nothing. Nobody, they hear nobody in there say nothing, and they felt that they knocked, I think it was 45 minutes. They waited 45 minutes before they knocked the door down. Enough time for, they say, a disabled person to answer the door, you know. Here's the thing about, I don't know if you guys have ever been walking out of your sleep and somebody's banging hard on your door. That's not a good look, and you're not going to rush to the door for that, because anybody knocking on your door late at night that's not supposed to be knocking on your door late at night, you're not in the habit of having that kind of thing happen, you're not going to be quick to run to that. And this guy had a gun, and he wasn't quick to do it. Apparently, he's not that, I guess he's not a shooter. He got the gun for protection. So he's not a guy that's eager to shoot people. It doesn't seem like it. He could have just lit the door up. Anyway, Mr. Walker said that he feared for his life and only fired in self-defense, believing that someone was trying to break into the home, because he don't know it's cops. I didn't hear nobody say it was a cop. All I heard was some banging, and said he didn't know there were police officers, and the police found them drugs in the apartment, right? He was scared for his life and her life, which we all can agree, somebody knocking on your door, 1 o'clock at night, waking you up out of your sleep, you're in there with your woman, right? Your man, and that's a startling situation right there. Right? He made a 911 call, right, before they got out of bed to see what was going on. Told a dispatcher that somebody kicked in the door and shot his girlfriend. Well, I guess that's after. He made just after the shots were fired. Walker made a how was they able to do that? That's amazing right there. He goes after the after the shooting, he went to make a 911 call. He still didn't know it was police. Right? The police incident report contained multiple errors, they say. It listed Ms. Taylor's injuries as none. I'm going to say this one more time. The police incident report contained multiple errors. It listed Ms. Taylor's injuries as none. Anybody can call in and let me know, how do you kill somebody and make it incident report with no injuries, and you got a body. You have somebody's dead, somebody's been murdered. Even though she had been shot at least 8 times and indicated that the police had not forced their way into the apartment. So the plot thickens, right? We have a police incident report, right? It contained multiple errors. Ms. Taylor, who is deceased, shot 8 times. Injuries, none, right? And it indicated that police had not forced their way into the apartment. Okay, so that's just weird right there. I mean, did they all smoke some wet before they went to serve this warrant? What happened? Their lawyers say the police had already located the main suspect in the investigation by the time they burst into the apartment. Excuse me. Unfortunately, Ms. Teller's previous boyfriend was a drug dealer at who she, broke up with. Maybe like a month or so, February. So she was no longer in relationship with him. She was in relationship with his brother, Mr. Walker. Right? So the lawyers say they had already located one of the suspects, they said, that was receiving drugs at her address through the mail. But they proceeded to break her door in, spray the house, you know, with gunfire. And they said one guy was just spraying. That's why he got fired. He just cut loose with a 15. There was no body cameras, camera footage, no body cam. They had no pictures of what they did, no video of nothing. Some legal experts said the fact that the prosecutors dropped charges after a grand jury indictment suggested that they may have doubts about the version of events told by the police. You would think, let me see, Breonna Taylor, no injuries but dead. It sounds like these guys are not even in their right mind. Did they get drug tested? I'm wondering. So why did it take so long to see all national attention? Well, we know there's a lot of things going on. Coronavirus pandemic and a whole lot of other things that have been going on, other shootings and things like that, right? On June 23rd, the Louisville Metro Police Department released a letter of termination that it sent to Brent Hankison, the former officer who blindly fired 10 rounds into a covered patio door and a window, according to the termination letter. That means he just lit everything up in a direction. He didn't have a particular target. He just lit up the property. This basically means he could have killed anybody. Chief Robert Schroeder accused Mr. Hankey's son of violating the police department's policy on use of deadly force, saying his actions were a shock to the conscience that discredited the police department. It was shocked by Hankison just firing up like he was some street thug. Also, officials, they didn't call him a street thug, I'm saying that. Also, city officials banned the use of no-lock warrants on June 11th. Too late. From NPR, because it's a little deeper. The Louisville, Kentucky Metro Council has voted unanimously to ban the no-knock warrants, right? Mayor Fisher has announced other charges to ensure more scrutiny, transparency, and accountability, those things that we've been asking for forever, including naming of a new police chief, a new requirement that body cameras always be worn during the execution of search warrants, and the establishment of a civilian review board for police disciplinary matters. Sad. I mean, that's good stuff. That's the start. But it's sad somebody had to be murdered for them to get to this. I mean, you have to go through all this violence and death and blood and guts before somebody decides, oh, we need to make a change. The New York Times continued from that article. There are concerns about other cases in Louisville. I don't know if y'all heard about this guy. There was this guy named David McAfee. They call him Yaya. He's famous for some barbecue that he makes. He must be slamming, or he used to be slamming, because basically all these cops were clearing, and National Guard were clearing the streets because they had a curfew, a dusk to dawn curfew imposed in Louisville. And I guess the people were, while crossing the street, an officer aimed at bystanders near Yaya's barbecue pit. Right? He in there cooking up his barbecue while this stuff is going on outside. People, you know, still on the streets and stuff like that. I said it was just out there. They wasn't the protesters, but it doesn't matter. They have a curfew, right? So he fires a pepper ball into the curb immediately. Diners to the front of Yaya's barbecue hurry back along the alleyway. So you sitting outside, he got that on the curb, kind of like eating thing, like they got some places here. So I guess they got a lot of that in Louisiana. Anyway, he let off some pepper balls, so the people that was at his restaurant sitting on the curb ran back towards the alleyway to take shelter inside the building through the side of the door. So my man, he McAtee, he comes, he hadn't seen what happened. He approaches the doorway from the inside. He appears to have a gun holstered on his right hip, right? Probably a licensed gun owner, right? So McAtee and his niece stand by the door and peer outside. There appears to be no immediate threat to the officers at this moment, but one of them immediately fires at least two pepper balls at them, right? I think one missed his niece, and McAtee and his niece were by the door. The police officer is aiming the pepper ball gun at the door, which he's not supposed to do, supposed to aim at the ground, right? As they peer out, one pepper ball pierces a soda bottle, which falls from the table. Another strikes the doorway and just misses the head of McAtee, of his niece, right? She ducks and falls back inside. In response, McAtee appears to fire his handgun out the side door. It's unclear where he's aiming. So you can guess what happened, right? So he's killed by in a hell of fire with the National Guard and the police officers, right? The police officer fired the pepper ball, draws his handgun, shots fired, right? And, you know, same officer, two guardsmen, and another officer fired 18 rounds at McAtee. He stumbled inside, dropped his handgun, and collapsed to the ground. So that was another incident that took place. The killing occurred when police and National Guard confronted curfew violators, but the video showed that the police had first fired at least two pepper balls from outside the restaurant toward Mr. McAtee and his relatives. They're not supposed to do that, okay? Just before he fired, the gathering was not a protester. Those who were there said, but a resident who were out enjoying the Sunday night. So it's basically curfew breakers and the people that lived in that area. So he was killed by a single shot to the chest. Two police officers and two guard members had discharged their weapons, firing about 18 rounds. See, that's multiple gunshots. They want to make sure they kill whatever it is they're shooting at. All right? So, a key from CNN, a key miscalculation by officers contributed to the tragic death of Breonna Taylor. Basically lying. But we're going to get to it anyway. CNN, on March 13th, police in Louisville, Kentucky arrested and suspected crack cocaine dealer by the name of Jamarcus Glover. That's her ex-boyfriend. He's not a kingpin. This is not no major drug bust. Only reason we're hearing about it is because of this incident with Breonna. All right? Unfortunate incident. So anyway, but in a related, near simultaneous operation across town, officers wearing tactical vests set up outside an apartment on Louisville South End, right? This is Breonna's spot, right? It was the home of Breonna, and detectives suspected was tied to Glover, right? Jamarcus Glover's alleged drug ring, right? Because I don't know if they found drugs or not. Officers used a battering ram to break in Breonna's door, triggering a chain of events which would leave unarmed 26-year-old woman fatally shot in a barrage of seemingly out-of-control police gunfire. Lawsuit claims Breonna Taylor lived for 5 to 6 minutes after being shot. Unlike the recent controversial killing of George Floyd and Rayshard Brooks, you know that George Floyd had the knee on his neck. Rayshard Brooks, that was the brother in McDonald's, didn't want to get arrested that night. Was a little high, was driving and sleeping in his car, and fled from the police. They tried to tase him, handcuff him and tase him, and He ran, took one of the tasers from him, and shot tasered the cop. Cop shot him in the back, killed him. Said he was fearful of his life. The man had a taser, same taser he was trying to use on him. So, anyway, I said, there's no body cam here, right? You're just going on what people said, right? Along with the false claims is that police were conducting a raid at the wrong address. And that's what the story I heard at first. They was at the wrong address, and this lady, and she got shot. And that an officer injured in a shooting was a victim of friendly fire by fellow cops. That's a false story, a false narrative, they said, which I'm sure you're getting from what I'm reporting tonight. A CNN review of the incident found that key miscalculation by police who assumed Ms. Teller was home alone when she was in fact accompanied by a boyfriend who was legally armed. So, all right, so they had a spy on her, right? And he told them that she was in the house by herself. I don't know what kind of work this guy was doing. He must have been sleeping or, moonlighting somewhere else, and I don't know. How could you get that mixed up? How could you not see, just one, two? How could you not know it's two people in there? He can't know if that guy's armed, but he can know it's two people in there. Anyway, that's poor intelligence work. Actually, that's no intelligence work. Coupled with the decision to press forward with a high-risk force entry under questionable circumstances contributed to the deadly outcome. What does that mean? We're going to get to that. Anyway, the story is based on a review of search warrant affidavits, audio recordings of the official statements of key participants, 9/11 recordings and interviews with more than a dozen people. The chaotic scene that night was exacerbated by an officer accused by his own department of blindly fascinated. That's that hero that's shooting this. He just lit the whole place up, the whole building up. Blindly firing 10 rounds in the teller's apartment from an outdoor patio. He's been fired, right? And it's appealing his termination. So, my question, I have a lot of questions about this thing. How can a man kill another human being and not be charged with murder? Because I didn't hear where anyone said that anyone was charged with a homicide. Anyway, if he's guilty of enough to be fired from the police force, Mr. The Hero, if he's guilty enough to be fired from the police force, that guilt supports the need for him to be charged for the killing of Breonna Teller. Maybe, maybe not. As killings go, they had ballistic tests, right? This is not just a case of poor training. It is a case of lack of respect for human life. As the officer fired blindly into the housing area, that means there was no target, and any and everybody in the area became targets. He didn't care who he killed. He was too afraid to put eyes on an actual shooter, probably because he had a gun too. So this coward was scared of another man with a gun. He had no heart. He shouldn't even be on the police force. How you got a 15 and you scared like that? And the man only shot one time. As I have often stated, get the cowards, the fearful, persons who have disdain for the population they police off the police force. To kill or murder without impunity encourages killing or murdering without impunity. Something more has to happen than you fired the guy that fired recklessly inside the house. The irony is that Breonna's boyfriend deliberately aim his weapon low as not to cause critical injury. This is very important. Here's this young black man in fear of his life, in fear of the life of his woman, being woken up out of his sleep, door blasting off the hinges, and he has the consciousness to shoot his weapon low as not to kill somebody. He had more respect for the life in a stressful situation than the so-called trained police officers did. He didn't get shot. Maybe because no one was aiming at him. Or these guys can't shoot. I don't understand that. Aren't police supposed to be trained to shoot aim at the threat, eliminate the threat? I don't get how Brianna catch eight and this man don't get shot at all. Anyway, if there are two people and one has a gun, it would be logical to shoot the one with the gun to eliminate the lethal threat. How was unarmed Brianna shot eight times? I don't know. Maybe the cop with the, you know, that just shot, you know, machine gun the whole property. Maybe he shot her. I don't know. Because I still haven't, I haven't gotten any data to say whose bullets actually killed her. Multiple gunshots are indicative of fear and or an intent to kill anything they perceive as a threat to them that night. That's why you're throwing all of that lead, because you want to make sure whatever it is taken down, and you don't care about the collateral damage. What the hell could the officer be appealing after spraying the apartment complex, killing one arm or possibly killing one unarmed Breonna Taylor and placing the lives of many others at risk of serious injury or death? Is that what police officers are trained to do in Louisville? Is that okay? If the attitude of law enforcement is that the people are the enemy, it would appear that the enemy is paying tax dollars to have their enemy kill them and violate them. It is uncommon for an enemy to care or value the life of his enemy, because the behavior sounds like they were just looked upon as being the enemy and kill them. And we hash this out when the smoke clears. When we have the brother in the house, and the brothers usually get a bad rap, especially the armed ones, especially a brother with a gun. See what they did to Orlando. Brother usually get a bad rap. This brother right here shot down, shooting the cop in the leg. Shot once. He could have just kept shooting. He didn't do that. Why is it taking so long to charge someone for the murder of Breonna? There's a petition on the internet calling for justice for Breonna, pound justice for Bree. I don't know, but something's wrong with this picture. I'm not a expert on this, but come on now. Anytime there's a body, somebody has to answer for that. They said police officials and prosecutors declined comment for this report, citing an ongoing investigation. So how long are they going to be investigating this? You know, my number one guy, the guy that choked the guy out in New York, was he on desk duty for like 5 years or something like that? And it's on videotape, he's choking this guy. And the guy say he can't breathe. How long is this going to take? Anyway, Walter Katz, a veteran police oversight expert who has mentioned departments in Los Angeles, who has monitored departments in Los Angeles, San Jose, Chicago, called the known circumstances surrounding Breonna's death very problematic and indicative of systemic flaws in training and tactics. I'm sure these guys... I hope these guys, because I don't know what they get in training, I hope they did not follow training procedure, and that's not the training procedure, because it sounds like these guys did something else. The investigation, which now includes the State Attorney General's office and the FBI, is being closely watched, not just in Kentucky, but across the U.S. 5 warrants were approved. Check this out. On March 12th, right? Day before, right? Louisville police detective presented Jefferson County Circuit Court Judge Mary Shaw with a stack of 5 search warrant applications for her approval, right? Police say Glover used Teller's residence as his current home address. Police say Glover, who lives across town, and they had a warrant for his house across town. Police say Glover used Teller's residence as his current home address as of February 20th. Check of various online computer databases and had been receiving mail then, right? As February 20th. This is March 12th, right? As of a February 20th check. He was using that as his address. As of February 20th, check. All right? It's March 13th. This man has a different address, and they know it because they got a warrant for the other address. Right? So he received the 3-page affidavit for a search warrant written by Detective Joshua James. The detective said he saw Glover walk directly into Teller's apartment in mid-January and leave a short time later with a package. Woo, that's got to be drugs, right? He then drove straight to a known drug house. Well, he's a drug dealer, right? James stated Teller's car, the detective noted, had been parked outside another alleged drug house linked to Glover on different occasions. The affidavit did not document any activity regarding Teller. Breonna Teller. So, or her residence in March, which is the month in which they issued the search warrant. The detective who applied for the warrant was put on administrative reassignment, Detective Joshua C. James, right? Again, this unwarranted request for a no-knock search warrant for Breonna's apartment facilitated the conditions that contribute to the death of Breonna, right? And the police officer being shot in the leg. And so it actually put everybody in jeopardy, the people in the house and the police officers, right? This officer is on administrative reassignment. This officer cannot be trusted as his failure to conduct an appropriate investigation into the termination of the relationship between Breonna and Glover, the alleged drug dealer, and the new boyfriend in the home indicate these guys did not do any kind of work. Even to say he was receiving drugs through the mail, you have to actually find drugs in the mail. You know what I'm saying? If he's a drug dealer, he's going to go to a drug house eventually. When I think about it, I wonder if they did know and wanted to search Breonna's home anyway. If they did, they could have just visited her home, right, as a part of the investigation. Why a no-knock? Why you need a no-knock warrant to go into the home of a female, 26-year-old female? What do you think she's going to do? You already know who she is. You got eyes on her. When she comes home, you approach her. Search the apartment or the house. But that's just me talking. And who am I? You know. But I don't see the reason for a no-knock warrant anyway. Anyway, besides seeking approval for these searches, police wanted the judge to give them permission to execute the warrants without having to knock on the door, meaning officers could forcefully enter, right? Boom! Startle everybody, you know. Such extreme tactics are supposed to be reserved for cases in which police fear suspects may try to arm themselves or are considered likely to destroy evidence if given opportunity, right? They waited 45 minutes. I'm going to tell you, that's enough time. He's not a major drug dealer. That 45 minutes is enough time to flush some dope down the toilet. He's not a major. That's enough time. So it could be. Is that the argument? If given, you know, so anyway. The no-knock warrants is considered amongst the most dangerous work in law enforcement. The most dangerous work in law enforcement. You already got your guy, right? He doesn't live there because you had a warrant for his house. So why are you no-knocking at this house this guy used to live at maybe a month ago or visited a month ago? Police are supposed to precisely articulate for judges why such actions are needed in any given case. For each of the five warrants, Jane used identical language seeking to justify the no-knock entry. That means he's identifying all residences as a high risk or residency. Because if I got the same language for each, if it's high, this is a high risk one, two, three, and four, it's high risk. And I got a no-knock for them. When I do Brianna's, that's going to be high risk. Why is she high risk? The guy said it was just her in the apartment. You have no evidence tying her to any drug trafficking or anything like that. Only thing she's tied to is the guy who allegedly sells drugs, right? So how did they even get a no-knock warrant for her, right? So Brianna was not in a relationship with Jamarcus Glover, alleged drug dealer, right? Police had no proof that drugs were being mailed, right? Because they talked to the post office, and they didn't have any idea what the police was talking about. There was no investigation, right? So there was no proof that drugs were being mailed to Brianna's home, as verified by this statement. They believe Glover had drugs mailed to her home. Believe. You understand what I'm saying? That gives you a no-knock warrant. You believe. Simply because some people have drugs delivered by mail does not implicate Glover or Brianna being in a drug by mail operation. If he did have drugs mailed to her home, there was no evidence that Brianna knew about it. At the time they received the search warrant, Glover was no longer in a relationship with Brianna. Therefore, there was no reason to search Brianna's home. The relationship had been over for about a month. Brianna had a new boyfriend in the home, which the so-called intelligence officer, miraculously didn't know. Brianna's sister said she heard Brianna tell Glover, "You cannot come up in my house with any drugs. My sister lives here, and I can't jeopardize her getting hurt because of what you did." Sounds like she at least found out he was a drug dealer and excommunicated him from the home due to his dangerous lifestyle. Bam! She got rid of him, right? She didn't want anybody get hurt because of him, and ironically, she's dead because of that. In relationship to her relationship to this guy. Anyway, oddly, how they believe drugs were delivered at the home and failed to know who actually lived or frequented the home. What is Keystone Cops? That is poor investigative work. That is what happens when you are systemically used to doing what you want to do without impunity. That's what happens when you just do what you want to do, any way you want to do it, and you have your way. This time, someone has been killed, but they will systemically find a way to get them out of this situation. Watch. They already, one guy's just been fired. Anyway, back to the story. The judge approved all the searches and gave the police permission to force entry into the locations if needed, right? Judge Saul, she took more than 30 minutes to review and consider the warrant application and made the probable cause determination required of by law. She said she added that Taylor's death was a tragedy that will stay with her forever. So she knows something's wrong. Here's why she knows what's wrong. She said lawyers for the Taylor's family would later say that Jane's affidavit for Taylor's resident, that's the officer that put in for the search warrants, right? His affidavit was weak and misleading. For example, any mail Glover may have received at her apartment would have been innocuous items such as clothes or shoes, which people do get in the mail, right? One of the attorneys told CNN it definitely wasn't drugs, right? Police in January had tracked two people between a suspected drug house, right, and Taylor's resident, ultimately leading authorities to execute a warrant at her home, according to a police affidavit for a search warrant, right? The warrant does not specifically connect Taylor to any alleged drug activity. Number one, Baker said Taylor was never involved in narcotics and disputed the facts on the warrant, saying it was based on lies from the police department. The warrant alleged that one of the men may have been keeping narcotics or proceeds cash at Taylor's address. Police said they verified through multiple databases that Taylor lived at the address. Baker pointed to an article published by CNN affidavit affiliate in which Louisville Postal Inspector Tony Gooden said Metro Police did not use his office to verify that a drug suspect was receiving packages at Taylor's apartment. Tony Goodman, Louisville Postal Inspector, right, did not, right, verify that a drug suspect was receiving packages at Taylor's apartment. It is possible that the police had asked a mail inspector from another jurisdiction of the U.S. Postal Inspector Service for help, but added that his office almost surely would have been notified of the outside agent's involvement. So you didn't even have the support of the post office in terms of this alleged postal drug ring. Anyway, police also said they verified through U.S. Postal Inspector that the mail had been that the mailman had been receiving packages at Taylor's home, and as of February the 20th, he used the location as his home address, according to the warrant. That's because they probably broke up. No need sending anything to the ex-girlfriend's home, especially since she's moved on. She wasn't specifically linked to any drug trafficking or the warrant, but she got the same treatment as those hard targets. Are they really that incompetent, sloppy when performing investigative work? Anyway, so these guys lied about the whole, they just lied on the indictment. Got the judge to sign off on it, lying about the postal inspector, support and support of the drug investigation also. So Taylor's apartment, according to the police, was considered a less volatile, soft target. So tell me, why do you have no knock warrants for all targets? You got five houses you're going to go into. Why you got no knock for Taylor, too, if it's a soft target? As much police commanders decided in advance to have officers knock and announce their presence before entry. That's a soft, they call that a soft target. You coming in the middle of the, when the people are asleep, right? Knocking on the door, then busting the door down. So my question is, why the late night visit is a soft target? Battering ram and the guns ready for a soft target? They could have just walked up to the house and knocked on the door at a decent hour. Why didn't you go there when the lady got off of work? Just knock. You had somebody spying on her. Knock on the door. I'm going to talk to you. You got a warrant to search your house. Why not? You waited 45 minutes. That's enough time to flush a brick down the toilet. I mean, 45 seconds. That's enough time to flush. You can get a couple of flushes down there that brick down there, which I doubt they even had a brick in there. He's not even a big drug dealer. Anyway. They made so much noise that a neighbor poked his head out and asked what was going on. So, Teller had been watching a movie in bed together with her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, when she drifted off to sleep beside him. These guys were asleep. They said they heard the banging, right? And his thought was that it was Glover. You know, because the Glover, the drug dealer boyfriend, thought he might be coming back, you know, salty, you know, coming back. You know, he's there, you know, he might be having a little beef with him, or it might be coming after her, we don't know. Said he knew he had dated an accused drug dealer during their on and off 7-year relationship. So this must be her real man. And I guess the brother was a stand-in when they broke up. Anyway, Teller, who was awoken, shouted, "Who is it?" Walker said there was no response. Right? He said he and Teller scrambled to get dressed and that he grabbed his gun, which his attorney said he legally owns. Right? So these people get dressed. I think 45 minutes, they did pretty good. The pounding on the door continued. Right? She's yelling at the top of her lungs. "And I am too," he said, right? "Who is it?" No answer, no response, no anything. This is a direct conflict with what the police said they did. "Open up, police." They ain't hear nothing. They ain't hear no response. Police say they didn't hear them. They didn't hear nobody saying they heard anybody, right? Only thing that they agree on is there was a loud noise, and eventually the door was banged in. So, Mattingly was the first one through the door. He could make out a man and a woman in a darkened hallway, he said. And the man had a gun in his hand. "I remember seeing the barrel," he said, right? Then in an instant, he saw a flash of the muzzle that felt the heat of a bullet in his leg. The round had severed his femoral artery, that's a major artery, anyway. Manley returned fire, squeezing off multiple shots in rapid succession. That man shot one time from the house. Boom, 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 boom. That's 1, 2, 3. That's 5 shots right there. So I don't know if he had a revolver or, you know, 17. I don't know what he had. But anyway, he shot backing out, I guess. He remembered falling to the ground and being helped to safety outside the apartment before he and fellow officers return fire. Hankinson, right? That's the guy with the machine gun just lighting up everything. And another one, Miles Cosgrove. They discharged their own weapons that evening. So we have conflict in the counts, or rather the police identify themselves as police. Yes, but ultimately, Brianna's new boyfriend was released after being arrested and charged, right, with attempted murder on a police officer. So the question remains, who is directly responsible for the death of Brianna Teller? Because I still haven't heard anything about that. Who actually, you know, murdered her? Whose bullets went into Brianna? Was it Hankinson? Was it Cosgrove? Was it Mattingly? Who did it? Who killed her? Anyway, this meaning who actually shot her. Hankinson was reckless, but Mattingly saw two people, one with a gun, and returned fire. And I'm assuming that Mattingly was the closest, and he had eyes on the targets. Well, these other guys are just shooting in the house. And I guess the Cosgrove must have had eyes on too, because he didn't get fired for recklessly endangering. So anyway, inside the apartment, Walker was unarmed, but Teller lay on the ground beside him, bleeding profusely. There were bullet holes everywhere, included in the neighboring apartment where a young child lived. Walker punched 911 in his cell phone. His voice sounds distraught as he tells the dispatcher someone had kicked in the door and shot his girlfriend. So he had time enough to make a call to the police after all this gunfire. As the operator peppered him with questions, Walker repeatedly moaned his girlfriend's nickname and the word help. Anyway, so, you know, they arrested him, right? He was taken in handcuffs. 6 days later, grand jury indicted him of attempted murder of a police officer. And the plot thickens even with what happened with him. And the indictment was returned following a brief presentation in which members of the panel were essentially told only that Walker had opened fire on the police during the raid and that one of the officers had been hit. So these guys didn't even, you know, they're just leaving things out of the scenario. They're not telling the truth by omission. So they're lying by omission. Grand jurors were not told that Walker said he was unaware the people who broke through Teller's door were police and that he believed he was acting in self-defense. Nor was the panel told of Teller's death. Can you believe that? The grand jurors were not told that Walker said he was unaware the people who broke through Teller's door were police and that he believed he was acting in self-defense, nor was the panel told of Teller's death. Now, I don't know, but I call that a conspiracy. You know, we have two or more people omitting the truth in an investigation. That's obstruction, and that's a conspiracy. But I don't hear anybody even mentioning those terms. No drugs found in the apartment. Come on now. In May, Walker's defense attorney, Robert Eggert, filed a motion to have the indictment dismissed. He said the prosecution presentation to the panel completely mischaracterizes what took place on the night. Mischaracterized, it seemed like they just lied to me. Teller was killed, and the grand jury was woefully misled. How come nobody was arrested? That's why I want. This is the kind of stuff that why people are marching and people are angry, why people do not trust police and the legal system and the criminal justice system. Because it seems like some people, it's two different rules here. We got a rule for the citizens and we got a rule for the police. We got a rule for the people in the judicial system. Because it's like they can do things that are wrong and no one is holding them accountable. It's not enough to hold just police accountable. Why are these things going on like this? Why are you know, these police men just lie their way through an investigation. And someone's dead. I don't understand it. But we call that a lie. A lie in court is called perjury. Two or more persons supporting a lie in court is called conspiracy. Did anybody get charged with anything like that? No. I don't get it. If it will not stop if there are no consequences, and the consequences are handed out to those who are guilty. See, it's not going to stop if people just do things and it's a slap on the hand. All I did was lose my job or nothing. Like, seemed like it was going on here. It's still an investigation, though. I don't know. I could be jumping the gun. Anyway, they say a day later, in a surprise move, the Louisville area top local prosecutor agreed to have the indictment against Walker dismissed. Now, here's what happened to Walker. Let me see if I can find this, because this is, it just speaks to the corruption. And they said that the critics said that executing a warrant at 1 a.m. with a battering ram is inappropriate for a low threat location. That's what I said. I said you should have knocked on the girl's door. You had eyes on her. You should have knocked on the door when she got home from work. Or you could have met her at work. I don't know. It's just a warrant, so you can't take her from work. When she gets home, bam, serve your warrant. That's all you had to do. You had eyes on her. They said, the critics say, it's unbelievable to me that this is a soft target. And L. Song Richardson, the dean of UC Irvine Law School, right? And an expert on constitutional policing. Did they think she had a gun, or was this all because they thought she might flush the drugs down the toilet? If so, that seems to be inconsistent with knocking and announcing. And I say waiting 45 seconds. You know what I'm saying? Because usually if you're trying to do that, it's police and you're going on there. Because you knock and you said police and you're going there. That's no knock. If you get given the benefit of the doubt of a no-knock warrant. You identify yourself. You got a no-knock. You don't have to knock at all. But you're going to do your knock. And, you know, go on in. But these guys said they waited 45 seconds. That's enough time to flush something. Anyway. They said that the crux of the case rests on the warrant that brought police to the door. He said the question is the language police used to obtain the no-knock warrant, which he said does not meet constitutional standards. The language used to obtain the no-knock warrant does not meet constitutional standards. That could throw the force police used that night into question, he said. Five warrants related to the drug case obtained for different addresses used virtually identical language, including the warrant for the search of Teller's apartment, and ended with a request for no-knock entry to the premises due to the nature of how these drug traffickers operate, which was not proven, right, through the mail. And why don't you get a dog at the post office, check that mail out? Even if you're justified in using deadly force, if you were the one who was wrong in the first place, at the house, right, under false pretenses, police, right? If you're there and you're not supposed to be there, right, you don't get to use justification. That's what this expert said. That don't mean nothing. That's just what the expert's saying, though. But that makes sense to me. The conspiracy to convict Walker and assist the police in escaping guilt. Now, check this out. They got this department called the LMPD, charged with determining whether a police-involved shooting is justified and is justified is the Public Integrity Unit, right? Check this out. They interviewed both the police and Mr. Walker, the boyfriend, right, that shot the gun, right? This is how he got set up. Somebody by the name of Amanda Seal introduces herself, and somebody by the name of Chad Tenham, right? Walker's crying. This is the same night they kill his girlfriend, wake them up out of their sleep, and kill his girlfriend, and shoot at him. So, you know, they encourage him to sign the Miranda rights waiver and talk. They encourage him. Pay close attention to this. They encourage him to sign the Miranda rights waiver and talk. It said it will be good for you to sign this, and then we can get your statement, and then we can leave you alone. Hear that? That's the setup right there. That's the dummy move. And this man is distraught. And you know, come on. Here's what happened. So, Mr. Walker was compliant. He signed that. Never sign over your Miranda rights, number one. First thing you want is a lawyer. Later also provides iPhone passcode when Seal asked for it. 6 days later, Seal testified before a grand jury, right? Seal, this is the person said, it would be good for you to sign this, and then we can get your statement, and then we can leave you alone. 6 days later, she testified, same person, same devil, right? Testified before a grand jury that indicted Walker in a two-minute statement for shooting a police officer, but did not tell the members of the jury that Walker thought the noise at the door was an intruder. You heard? All right. 12 days after the fatal raid, Walker was indicted. Godfrey Alpert, an expert in high-risk policing and the use of force, described the interview with Mattingly as leading. This is another expert. The interview, basically what they did with Mattingly, that's the cop that got shot. The first one in the door, they got shot in the leg. What happened with him? They just told him what to say. They said Vance asked Mattingly if he immediately dropped to the ground after Walker shot him in the leg. Mattingly says no. He fired four times at Walker, backed out of the apartment, fired twice more, then got out of the game, he said. That's kind of like what I was getting to, because your position, you know, initially when you're shot, and then rightfully so, you're returning fire, says Vance. Maddie said, yeah, that's it. So they're telling him the whole, I don't get it. I'm a little perplexed here because that a person could have their lie recorded and move forward on a lie, move forward on some evidence that could be used against them. Know that it's recorded somewhere, and you move forward on some garbage that can be used against you that's inappropriate. I don't understand that. Like, these kind of people we got working in the justice system. They said, but you know, you just said you made a conscious decision. You know, I'm now injured. I need to move so they can protect themselves and me as well, says Vance. And then, I don't want to put words in your mouth. No, that's it, says Mattingly. That's it. That's it right there. Yeah, that's what happened. They basically narrating the story of what happened. Vance also offers that the apartment layout made it a difficult location. You've got nearly 20 years of police experience, would you? Would you say that the positioning of that apartment made it extremely difficult? Asks Vance. Mattingly replies, it wasn't ideal. This is something they got recorded. And I'm like, yo, you can't answer this man's questions. He ain't said nothing. Only thing he said, it wasn't ideal. Wasn't ideal. No, that's it. That's all he said. They suggested what happened to the officer, Mattingly, encouraged Walker to sign the Miranda rights waiver and talk also in line with a conspiracy. These guys conspired to convict Walker and get these police officers excuse them from any accountability. Tried to make them seem like they didn't do anything wrong. Why aren't these criminals in jail? And I'm talking about these people from the whatever this thing is called here, the Public Integrity Unit, which apparently has no integrity. Why aren't they? Well, let me say again, this thing's still under investigation, I'm assuming. I don't know why, because they only took her 2 minutes to indict this brother. Why? Are they going to be indicted for what they did? Because this is a conspiracy. Why aren't these criminals in jail? You cannot trust anything they say, and who knows how many guilty police officers they have assisted in covering up their wrongdoing, and how many people they have misled by encouraging them to surrender their right to legal counsel to achieve an arrest and a conviction. Look at these devils at work on the people's tax dollar. That is part of the reason people are protesting right now. The systemic disenfranchisement, racism, lying, and perpetuating benevolent, well-meaning spirits. These guys didn't mean Walker well at all, but they presented themselves as benevolent, well-meaning spirits, but they weren't at all. Did Brianna have a doorbell, I wonder? Because I'm like, it could have rang a doorbell. Did they try that? Anyway, that's just my question. I don't know. Is it because the apartment looks nice? I'm thinking, I don't know, there's so many other things this guy could have did it. They shouldn't have been at her house at 1 o'clock, quarter to 1 in the morning. Police say they announced they were police. Walker said he never heard anyone say police. And he's out of jail and charges dropped. But that is not a happy ending. John is not here. Police continue to perform their duties poorly, and black folks are getting the short end of the stick. It's a problem. And anybody can get the short end of this death stick. White folks don't think you are exempt from it. You're just not getting it as much as black folks are. Anybody can get it from some statistic killed by police in 2020. White people, 204. Black people, 105. Hispanic, 66. American population, 59.7% white. Disproportionately black, 13%. Hispanic, 18% of the population. And you see those numbers are disproportionate. 13% of the population murdered by cops, 105 in 2020. And as you know, we're not done yet. White population is 59.7% of the population. Murdered, 204. From the Washington Post, despite the unpredictable events that lead to fatal shootings, police nationwide have shot and killed almost the same number of people annually. So nothing is changing. All this marching we're going through, nothing's happening. Black Americans are killed by police at more than twice the rate of Americans. This phenomenon is attributed to poor hiring, poor training, and poor police practices. No not warrant policy, systemic racism and prejudice, and some very bad apples on the police force and the judicial system. These officers appear to have been misled by the poor investigation or practice and support of their fellow officers. Just as the punishment should fit the crime, so should the police approach to the particular situation. You shouldn't put everyone in the same boat. under the same umbrella or in the same bed, especially without evidence or proof. These guys ain't gonna have none of that. It seems to me we have the same kind of fool on the police force with a firearm as we have running around some communities doing what they want to do. Sometimes they want to violate others, and sometimes they want to kill intentionally or in error without impunity. They appear to have the benevolent internal legal support to assist them with getting away with murder. The city banned no-knock warrants on June 11, 2020. That's indicative of how bad this situation is, because it was on the back of this situation that they did this. This corrupt river runs deep, and black folks need a battleship to cross it. I'm going to say this one more time. This corrupt river runs deep, and black folks need a battleship to cross it. We in trouble, y'all. Power to the people. This is ridiculous. There's nothing in here but this whole story. This is just me doing what little research I could do with the case. We got people lying throughout here, professional people, the people who are supposed to be telling the truth, represent the law, lying. Lying to other people who are representative of the law. Lying to judges to get warrants, or lying on your affidavits or what happened and you have a homicide. Lying what happened. Lying about what happened. When you have a dead person, you don't even say somebody's dead. Are you kidding? You don't tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You say what you want to say in order to get the result that you want to get. So it seems to me that it's not just the police force. It's systemic racism and systemic injustice and disenfranchisement of black peoples and people of lower ethnic of lower income and of the so-called minority groups. I don't understand that. How we get to be minorities? White folks is a minority on the planet. How they call them? Why we the minority? Why black people called minority? We not the minority on the planet. Chinese not the minority on the planet. What up with that? Anyway, that's just my little pet peeve. You know, I just want to say, you know, this is upsetting because we got documentation of corruption, and they better do more than just figure out who killed Brianna and put them on trial. They need to be putting a whole lot of folks, taking a whole lot of folks to court based on the information I got right here. If any of this is true, and it's, some of it came from the, I can't say where it came from because my sources is maybe third hand. So I can't say, but if any of this is true, we have anybody that wrote that filed a false report need to be prosecuted. He lied on a inspector on the post the postmaster general. He didn't have the support of him. He didn't know nothing about it. And he said if it was something like that going on, he wouldn't know it. And if you wanna think somebody's I don't know, it doesn't make no sense to me. How do you just get something on I think? Is that all it takes? You get a warrant on, hey, I think this guy's getting drugs through the mail. Why? Because he got a shirt from somewhere. Hell, I got my mask through the mail. I know people that get a whole lot of stuff through the mail. I got computers through the mail. Come on now. Drug dealer don't mean that only thing he does is sell drugs. Anyway, get proof. Stop lying and you need to be held accountable for your behavior. I'm not just these police officers, that those so-called investigators, these other people from the whatever that thing was, Amanda from the Public Integrity Unit, somebody, they need to be investigated and they need to be brought before the court and dealt with. Because that's wrong. Why are you encouraging somebody to sign away his Miranda rights as if we don't really have a problem with you? Just tell us what happened. We know you are all right. Like, don't do that. And look, this dude must not be used to being involved in the criminal justice system. I mean, if he was watched television, he would have known not to do that. Anyway, I'm on soapbox tonight because this is ridiculous. I'm reading this stuff in the height of the nation, the world, protesting injustice. We still got stuff crap like this going on. It's still going on. And some of it apparently, according to some of the documents that I ran across, it's documented. These guys don't even care. It's documented how they try to help tell these cops what to say. We don't know what happened. We can't trust what the police say now. They discredited those police officers. They might, I don't know. Let's see what happens. Somebody might have to do some time because you shouldn't have been there at Brianna's house. You got your warrant illegally, unconstitutionally. Something's got to happen, but that's just me talking. I don't make the laws. I'm subjected to the laws, but we need to turn that around. We need to make everything do what it's supposed to do, as they said. I think Ray Charles said that. Make it do what it do, because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And not for us. It's doing what it's supposed to do for certain individuals, and that's not what the law is supposed to be about. So, you guys get a chance. Do your own research. Don't take my word for it. It's nothing but a bunch of conspiracy. A bunch of liars and vipers involved in this case right here, and it should have never happened. These guys handled that all wrong. Until next week, I want to thank everybody for listening in. Anybody called in, listening in on the through the studio. I want to thank Mr. Kenneth Young for allowing me to put me down with this radio talk show host thing. And I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, and don't forget, stay tuned for Black Urban America on Tuesday. Until next time, y'all, remember, each one reach one, each one teach one, do your own research. You have access to a lot of information. Until next time, y'all, peace out.
Be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion.
Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.